All right, today is, we have a problem. I had a problem. Problem is the parsha is Tazria and Mitzora. And as much as we love the laws and nuances of Tzara'at, we've done it before.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to go into the differences between white spots and deep white spots, you come to the wrong place. So I decided today, it happens to be that yesterday I gave a shiur in Orot, one of the classes that I give, is on Agadah of Chazal, and I did a shiur on what's called the Shlosha Shavuot, the three oaths. Are you familiar with the three oaths? Oh, good. See, we'll be now. It's very important. This is a very important Agadah related to Yom HaTzma'ut, to religious Zionism. So I'll share with them and discuss them. But of course, you need a leg to stand on when we come to the Parsha Shavua, because we're a Parsha shiur. So we'll start with Perek Yud Yudalid Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Yudalid Lamed Gimel. That's in Mitzorah. And if you're listening at home and you're yearning for Tzara'at, go to Bastiers. I'm sure there's a link. Is that what you were expecting? I'm sorry. Okay, it says the Torah. Vayidbar Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron le'mor. Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, Ki tavo el eretz kena'an, asher ani noten lachem la'achuza. When you will come to the land of Canaan that I'm giving to you la'achuza. Achuza is a?
Possession.
What did you say?
Possession.
Because you read it? Possession. What is le'echoz?
To hold
on to, right. Something to hold on to. As a possession, it really is. Okay? But it really means an inheritance in the context. Venatati negat zarat bebeit eret achuzatchem. I will place an affliction, a plague of tzarat, in beit eret achuzatchem, in the house of the land that you're holding on to. Beit eret achuzatchem. What it really means, what the Torah is saying, is, contextually, is there's going to be times when you'll come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll find Tzara'at in your house. Okay, and this is a well-known idea. Chazal talk about, the Torah talks about, there's three types of Tzara'at. Tzara'at of the house, Tzara'at of the clothing, and then Tzara'at of the body. And instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to punish us physically first. So first, if we are not married, if we're bad or whatever, if we behave inappropriately, we get Tzara'at of the house, then of the clothing, and then of the body.
And this can only happen in the land.
Oh, yeah. Okay, only in Eretz Canaan, Eretz Israel. Okay, and it's part of our special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so there's interesting language in the pasuk that we'll start with. Okay, it says Asher ani noten lachem achuza, and then Beit Eretz achuzatchem. The word le'echoz, what we said, means to grasp, to hold onto. It's your achuza. Nowadays, the word achuza means inheritance. Okay. Inheritance is interesting because it's on the one hand, it's something that belongs to you, but you don't hold on to it. You don't grasp it. Why do you have it?
Because it's given to you.
Correct. So there's a certain, how should we say, irony in the language. Mm-hmm. Because the language implies it's yours forever. But the language also implies that you have to hold on to it in order to keep it. Mm-hmm. That's Eid Eretz Achuza. And as we all know, that's the idea of that's the inherent idea of what does tzara'at of the house imply? What do you have to do when you have tzara'at in your house?
Take everything out of it.
Take everything out. Get out of the house. Okay? Why? Because it's impure. You can't stay here now because there's something about the house that makes it uninhabitable. So it's your achuza, but you can't live there. Mm-hmm. Right? There's we all know where the midrash says. I want to read you a midrash about this idea, because that's relevant to the topic we're going to discuss today. Okay? Says the Midrash. This is a Midrash Tadshe. Never heard of it. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael. Said God. Mitchila, originally, mipnei shaita hagzeira alechem sheta'abdu be'eretz Mitzrayim. Right? Originally, it was a gzeira, there was a decree that you would have to be slaves in Egypt. Maktiv sham. What does it say? Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim, vayeachazuba. It says in Bereshit, Perek, Mem Zayin, Pasuk Chav Zayin, the children of Israel, i.e., the descendants of Yaakov, they settled in Eretz Mitzrayim, vayeachazuba. The same word, le'echoz, Aleph Chet Zayin. It means they established themselves there, right? But they held on to there. Hayta ha'aret hayta ochezet bahem v'tofeset otam. I'm gonna this midrash actually works really well in the shiur.
The land was also holding on to
Why? Right. The Aretz Vayeachazuba. It doesn't mean. It doesn't say. It's interesting. Can you look at it? Look it up. You have the Chumash Mem Zayin Bereishit Mem Zayin Kaf Zayin Bereishit 47:27. Okay, read the English. Read the English.
Okay. Thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the region of Goshen. They acquired property in it, and they were fruitful and multiplied greatly.
Read the Hebrew.
Ve'eshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim, be'eretz Goshen, ve'yechazuba.
Okay, but so how do they translate ve'yechazuba? The land of Goshen,
they settled. They acquired property.
Okay. Interestingly, the word vayeachazuba, you would say vayeachazu. It sounds like they were leheachez means to be held. I don't know how you would say. How do you say in Hebrew? I would hold vayochzu, vayechzu, vayeach. Anybody here? Anyone? What? I know. Yeah. Say. Okay. Leheachez means to be held. It means like there's a passiveness. Ah, oh, that's what the Midrash says. Ha'aretz hayta ochezet bahem v'tofeset otan. The land was holding on to them and grabbing them. Listen to this language. Ve'ilu hayu mevakshim latzeit mitocha kodem lachen lo hayu yecholim. Had they want to leave earlier, they would not be able to. Ad sheba haketz shehem chayavim. Until the ketz came. The ketz, what's the ketz?
Time.
What does the word ketz mean? The time, the end. Until the time they shame chayavim.
Isn't there a midrash that one of the shvatim tried to leave Mitzrayim before and they were all killed?
Yes, there absolutely is a midrash like that. Okay? Okay. The fikach k'tiv, and therefore it says, vayeachazuba. They were held in it. Ki'il ki'adam she'ochez bo ba'al korcho. It's like a person that's holding on to something against his will. Mm-hmm. You know? He's forced to hold on to it. But when we came to Eretz Kanaan, Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said God, Lo tiyu svurim she'atem ne'echazim ba. Don't hold. You shouldn't think that you're held here against your will. V'yesh alechem od shibud acher. Chayechem, I promise you, birshutchem hi. Right? You're not, nobody's holding you captive. Nobody's forcing you to be here. It's in your will. Hayu atem ochazim v'tofzim ota. You want to hold on to it? Hold on to it. You don't want to hold on to it? Sarat Bebeit Erech Achuzatcha, Beit Erech Achuzatchem. The place that you're holding on to. Nobody's forcing you again here against your will. You want to be here? You'll be here, i.e., if you behave in the appropriate way. On the other hand, the implication is, in Galut Mitzrayim, they were held there against their will until when?
The right time.
Until the right time. Okay. So this raises an interesting specter. Is there such a thing as a galut where there's a time? And we have no, and the Jewish people are not supposed to, we're almost done with the Chumash part. Okay, the Jewish people we don't have a right to say, we're done. We want to go. Like you said, exactly like Shevet Dan. No, it's our time. We want to go now. Okay, is there such a concept? And the answer is, yes, there is. Okay, and
that's on a collective level.
What?
On a collective level versus
in Mitzrayim, it was on a collective level. I'm a big believer in history repeating itself, right? That the things that happened before happen again. Okay, so just so happened to have extra sheets, which is good. This is from my shir yesterday in Orot. But shir, as I said to them before, I said, since it's Tazria Mitzorah and I don't feel like doing Tzarat, we're going to do Yom HaTzmaut stuff. But we started, of course, from a Midrash, and the Midrash actually works in nicely, I think. Okay? So is there a concept? So there's the very famous Gemara, very, very famous Gemara, about what's called the Shlosha HaShavuot, the three oaths. And this is from a Gemara in Masechet Ketubot, Daf Kuf Yud Amud Bet. The end of Ketubot. Let me get the Gemara itself. The end of Ketubot is all about Eretz Yisrael. All about beautiful things to say about Eretz Yisrael. So you're going to like some of this, and some of this we have to deal with. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. I'm on line 3. Okay, everybody see it? Everyone see where I am? Line 3. Le'olam yadur adam be'eretz Yisrael, afilu be'ir shiruba ovdei kochavim, ve'al yadur b'chutz la'aretz, afilu be'ir shiruba Yisrael. So a person should, it's better to live in, I don't know, what?
In Eretz Yisrael.
Right. Pick a town in the Galil that's mostly Arab. Okay. It's better to live in a town in Eretz Israel that's not mostly non-Jewish. Better than to live in. Well, pick the city.
Lakewood.
What?
Lakewood,
right? That's or Teaneck. Okay. That's mostly. I don't know if you right. You guys are, you know what I'm talking about? You
yes.
know what I'm talking about. You don't
I
know.
I lived in Teaneck.
No. Oh, you know? Okay. Yeah. Tracy has no idea. She's like, whatever. Okay. Pick your city. What? Edgeware? I don't know. What?
Goldescreen.
What's that? Goldescreen. Okay. Vila Be'ir Shirubai Yisrael. Even in a city that's mostly Jewish. Shagol Hadar Be'eretz Yisrael. Domeh Kemishi Yeshlo Eloha. If you live in Israel, Domeh, it's like you have a God. It's as if you have no God. What?
I remember the first time I learned it, I exploded. I was so upset. How dare you say that?
I know.
I learned it as well.
Yeah, I know.
Liara had a major fight at school because of this.
What, she was in favor or against?
How can you say that who is in Chutzlach is
Okay, first of all, who's saying this? Which Gemara? Which Talmud?
Bavli.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They were in Bavel. They were saying this. This is not Israeli rabbis preaching, you know, to Israel. It's the Babylonian rabbis. Probably not all of them. I'm sure this wasn't the most popular lecture when they gave it at the time. Okay. Shneemar, as it says, Lated lachem et eretz Kinan liot lachem lelukim. Right. Ani Hashem Elokechem. That's in Vayikra Kafe. To give you Eretz Canaan to be a god for you. Meaning, why did I give you the land?
So I can be your god.
So I can be your god. If you don't want the land, so if you're not in the land, I'm not your god. V'chol, I'm at the end of line 5. V'chol she'eno dar ba'aretz, ein lo eloha. Really? It's a little harsh. The Gemara itself says it's a little harsh. You have no god if you don't live in the land. Ela, lomar lecha, to teach you, kol hadar b'chutz la'aretz, ki'ilu oved avodat kochavim. No, it's not that you don't have a God. It's as if you worship a Avodah Zarah. Okay, you feel better? Okay, we are preaching to the choir.
Deep
fine,
words.
It's okay. What?
Somebody and they had an absolute.
You've heard of this, right? You've all seen this?
Wasn't there a Rashi similar to this?
Rashi's based on this. Rashi in the Torah. Rashi.
Where's
the Rashi?
Shabbos. I was saying, like, I wish I knew where that Rashi was.
Yeah, I never remember. I have to find it, but it's.
I remember we did it.
I think it's on Shema. I think Rashi says it there, but I could do a quick search online to find exactly where Rashi says it. But Rashi quotes this Gemara explicitly. Rashi says that Rashi lived in France. It's obvious. How are we to understand this? How are we to interpret it? So does it seem harsh? Is it harsh? Does it seem like it's too much?
Yeah.
It does?
Well, today it does because there's a choice, but like just saying Rashi's time,
yeah,
I don't think it would have
been
harsh at all because it was very, very unlike, it's very, very difficult to get here.
It was impossible to get here. Rashi never had the option.
It was fine. Like, yes, it was regarded ideally you should live in Israel, but we can't today. And just know that, like, that this is a very,
I actually like the way that you say it. So the way Tracy is describing it in Rashi's time. So what Rashi imagined when he quoted this, what he was saying is, our worship of God is a shadow. I mean, what did Rashi say? What did Rashi think when Yam said, I'm going to go live in Eretz Yisrael? Kol Hadar be'Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Right, what was Rashi's vision of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael?
It's an ideal
situation. I.e., what's the most important element of it? Keep going. Right, the Beit HaMikdash. Right, interestingly, is Rashi thinking about, when Rashi quotes it, is he thinking about Kol Hadar Be'eretz Yisrael like the way we think about it today? Like one could suggest, and we're going to see in the Gemara, in Bavel, that it was analogous to the situation today. So this Gemara takes on different meanings through different periods of history. Right. Nowadays, this Gemara has very different meaning. This Gemara is used, we use it to hammer people over the head. Karen's going to send out a Facebook post. I learned this important Gemara. I want all my friends to understand. You're all idolaters, and you should all, you know.
We don't hold by that.
What? But please give this Adnan first word. Right? You know, I wrote, I don't know if you guys saw this, in the Torah to go, I had a piece in there. You like my piece?
It was a really good.
Yeah, it was good.
I really liked the whole book.
The book was very nice, actually. It's very good, especially my piece. No, so what I... whatever. So what I wrote, actually, was quite interesting. I wrote a lot of them. A lot of them were very interesting. So what I wrote about was, and they put us in alphabetical order. It's interesting. They said 600 words, and everybody else wrote longer. But no, what are you going to do? Okay, what I wrote was, I said, and this is something that always bothers me when it comes to, when we come to the Haggadah.
Do you have extra of these?
No, but it's online. What's that?
Naftali
had them? You gave them out? Okay, what's that always bothers me, when I've talked about this, when we come to Pesach, Chazal could never imagine a time when Jews would go to Yerushalayim on Pesach, but they would stop at the lower wall. You know what I'm saying? We'd have the freedom, we'd be in control, but we wouldn't offer Korban Pesach. Mm-hmm. It was not in there. Like, why would you do such a thing? Like when we're yearning for the Binyan Beit HaMikdash. So when Rashi says, Kol Adar Be'eretz Yisrael, when Rashi quotes it, I think what he means is, like, I have this vision that when you live in Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish people will live in their fullness. We'll offer the Korban, we'll have... And what if I said the following? What if I made this quote? Kol Am Yisrael B'li Beit HaMikdash, Ki'ilu she'en lo eloka. What would you say to that? Would you say, oh, that's like harsh?
No.
You would say, right, you would say that the Jewish people, what?
It makes sense.
That we must remember that this isn't the ideal.
Correct. Right. Not even the ideal. This is a shadow. Our worship, even though we don't understand, it's hard for us to appreciate Korbanot, we understand that without God in our midst, the lack of God in our midst, is just a fundamentally different religious experience, different national experience than it would be otherwise. But that's not what they said in the time of Babel, as we're going to see. They all did have the option of Aliyah. It was harder. Like, you know, I think for Rashi it was impossible. It wasn't even the purview of the possible. But we know in the times of the Gemara, we're going to see right in the second, in the times of the Gemara, there was interchange. It was possible to go. Okay? So they were living by choice in Babylonia. And the community in Israel did exist, but it was weak. It was the weaker community. It wasn't the firm community. It was harder to live. The Torah was not as good. It's not like it is today. You know, it was like, I would say, moving from Poland to Israel in 1930. Right.
People make that excuse today, too, though.
But you can't live a Torah life?
No, but
that's a joke.
You're a teenager.
That's a joke.
Go off the derech if you make aliyah.
Well, and you're teenagers, and your teenagers so many guarantees in America.
When we were making aliyah.
Wait, I want to categorize that.
Someone said that.
Stop. Bringing a teenager here specifically during those years is fraught with dangers, specifically because of the cultural challenges that would face a teenager. That's absolutely true.
And I think.
Not necessarily, because a teenager who's happy and well-adjusted in a religious, in an Orthodox atmosphere, okay, if you take that teenager out of a situation and throw him into Israel, he can't thrive in the mainstream. He can't. He's culturally absent. He's missing the language. He's not going to understand, and he's going to find other areas where he will fit in, and those aren't always religious things. So that's legitimate.
That's not what they meant.
I think that is what they meant. I mean,
no,
but,
my kids were 9 at the time.
Right, exactly.
They were saying to me, be careful.
Yeah, is it true?
No,
of course it's not true.
I was asked what I was going to do about my rochias.
What?
I was asked.
You see how right they were. What can you do? You know what I'm saying? Okay. What?
So just look at my kids.
Terrible. Okay. So what did they mean in the time of Babel? What did they mean? What would it mean? See, in today, the Jewish community was weaker. You know, to go from Warsaw, an incredibly strong Jewish community, to Netanya, there's nothing there. In 1930, like, still, that was what they were talking about. And the Rabbanim were against it. The vast majority of Rabbanim were against it. Nonetheless, the Gemara is saying the exact opposite. Warsaw, in 1930, is like, if you have no God. The answer is obviously metaphysical. It has to be metaphysical. The idea that this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. If you accept that, then you understand that's where he wants the Jewish people to be. And you'll live in that place. And if you don't, then, you know, it's about your understanding of religiosity and not his. And that's very hard. That's a very challenging thing that most people don't do. I don't think today it's fair for us to say. Because the way I understand this today, I understand it in terms of a national sense. Kol Adar, you know, if you live in Chutz La'aretz, as we all know, the atmosphere in Chutz La'aretz, the cultural atmosphere, the religious atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere, it's not a Jewish atmosphere. Right? You are literally swimming against the stream. You could say the same thing in Israel to some degree, you could, but it's not true. You know, there are definitely cultural, I'm not going to suggest by any stretch of the imagination that we live in a Torah society. But we do live in a Jewish society. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, I stop getting excited. No, I wouldn't say stop. You know, when you go to the grocery store, like as soon as Purim is over, what do you see in the entrance of the grocery store?
Cleaning
right.
products.
Right. You know what I'm saying? You see cleaning products. And it's not like you went to the kosher store. Like, they don't sell cleaning products in a kosher store in Chutz La'aretz because you can buy them at Costco. Here, you walk into any grocery store and there's cleaning products. And you immediately know Pesach is coming. And it doesn't matter if you're religious or not religious, it's unavoidable. Right. Like the whole avira of the country is surrounded by the religious, I would say the religious heartbeat, the spiritual heartbeat of the Jewish people, whether they like it or not. And that's something that's part of what it means to be a Jew in a Jewish country. You know what I'm saying? You light Shabbat candles, you don't light Shabbat candles. The weddings that people go to in this country are Jewish weddings. Right. By definition. So when I sit with couples, non-religious couples, most non-religious couples want to have a Jewish wedding. And you'd be surprised. You know, despite what you hear in the media, they want to have a normal Jewish wedding with a chuppah. Why? Because that's what they were raised on. That's their cultural expectation. As opposed to when you get to Chutz La'aretz and anything goes and everything is fine, right? That's not the ruach. That's not the spirit. So that's the way I interpret that this idea today. You know, if you're able to, even if you're able to close yourself off in a religious society, you're really not. You know, even the ones that are successful, it's impossible to close yourself off entirely. It's all around you. The values are around you. The sports are all around you. You know what I'm saying? Just the expressions are all around you, and you're doing everything you can to keep your head above water. And I think Chazal and Babel knew that too. Like, it was probably worse in Babel. I'm sure it was worse in Babel. Because it was idolatrous. You know, they worshipped idols. They were in the middle of a, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Okay. Says line 6. V'chein b'David hu omer. David HaMelech said the same thing. Ki gershuna ayom mistapech b'nachalat Hashem le'mor. Lech avod Elohim acherim. David HaMelech was running away from Shaul. So when he ran away, I don't remember the name of the country, but he ran away to the Plishtim, and David said the following, they have exiled me today, mistapeach v'nachalat Hashem, from dwelling in the inheritance of God, saying, lech avod Elohim b'chavim, go worship idols. Meaning, if I can't be in Eretz Yisrael, you know, if I have to be here among all of you, lech avod, they tell me, go worship idols. V'chein, v'chimi amar lo le'David, lech avod Elohim b'chavim. Who told David, go worship idols? El alom alecha. Rather, this teaches you kol hadar b'chutz la'aretz ki'ilu oved avodat kol chavim. Right? It's as if you worship idols. It's all around you. How many people go to Christmas parties in Chutz La'aretz?
Holiday parties.
Right, really? Okay. Because America is an unbelievably egalitarian country. But any, like, and then...
What? It's a holiday party with Christmas.
Right. And by the way, there's pushback now. You know, there's pushback against people who say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas.
Trump.
What? There's pushback. There's right-wing resurgence nowadays around the world because of that. Because the political correct, like, can't let us have our own traditions. And they're right. You know what I'm saying? You're not allowed to, you know, in more religious countries, they still, you know. And so, and what do Jews do? We sort of swallow it. We don't really mean it. We have a holiday party. But in essence, you're celebrating Christmas. Why? Because, correct,
or
whatever, right. You know, and we're all, and we are thinking about the religious Jews. What about the non-religious Jews? What about non-religious Jews? You know, non-religious Jews, it's almost impossible. And you becomes who you are, especially in America. Line 9. Now we come to the fun story. Rabbi Zeira, havi kamishtamit minei de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Zeira was hiding from. He was trying to avoid Rav Yehuda. Why? Deba'a lemesak le'eretz Yisrael. Deba'a, he wanted lemesak to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zeira wanted to make aliyah. Okay? So he would avoid Rabbi Yehuda. Because everybody knew that Rabbi Yehuda was against moving to Israel. Why? The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, I'm in the end of line 9. Rabbi Yehuda said, Kol ha'olem mi-bavel le'eretz Yisrael, over be'aseh. Anyone who makes aliyah from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael violates a mitzvat aseh, violates a positive commandment. Meaning there's a positive commandment to stay where we are. Shene Amar, as it says in Yirmiyahu, Bavela yuv'u, you will be brought to Bavel, v'shama yiyu, ad yom pakdi otam nu'um Hashem. And there you will be until the day that I redeem you, so saith the Lord. Okay? This is the Gemara. So Rabbi Zeira.
What you heard today also.
What's that? I'm trying to.
Well, but what happens if you're already in Israel? Did you have to leave and go to Babylon?
No, if you're in Israel, if somebody violated the assay, what are you going to do? What I'm saying. Okay. So that's what Rabbi. So this is exactly Rabbi Huda learned out this pasuk.
Wait,
Rabbi Zeira was, I don't know if he was a student of his, I think maybe he was a colleague, so he basically avoided him, because he didn't want to get attacked, because everybody knew he was like planning to lift and whatever. You know what I'm saying, Sadie? You didn't want to hear from him. Yeah?
Just a technical question. It comes from Yirmiyahu, not from the Torah.
Yeah.
I thought all the positive commandments were in the...
Divine promise. Well, it's not really a mitzvah to say.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, no, it didn't really, I don't think it technically means a mitzvah aseh, okay? So Rabbi Yehuda was giving him a hard time. Rashi says Rabbi Yehuda was mochebi ado. He would, every time he would see him, he'd start yelling at him. So he just avoided him. Like, I don't need this. I'm going to Israel. Does that sound familiar also?
Politics
What?
Politics are funny.
The?
Politics of this is just funny.
What do you mean, that he would just avoid him?
He didn't
want to argue with him, right? He didn't want to hear it. Anyway, I don't know enough now to know whether Rabbi Yehuda was like the communal leader and what Zera's role was or what have you. You know, it could very well be that Rabbi Yehuda was angry at Rabbi Zera for leading the community. You know what I'm saying? That like you said, there are politics involved. I don't know enough to know, but like
too much good work here in Chutz La'aretz,
silly. We've all heard that. Did I ever tell you the story? So when I made Aliyah, I wanted to make Aliyah. I went to talk to, like, of course, they're scared to death, and this is the craziest thing you're going to do. So I went to a Rav of mine in Israel, and I asked him, what should I do? You know, like, I'm the Rav, I have a community. And he said, look, I know you're doing good work, but I'm sure they'll replace you. So, like, whatever, everybody has a responsibility. He said, I think you should do it. He said, but so-and-so, and he named another rabbi who's doing amazing work in a very big community, I don't think he should come. Like, you know what I'm saying? He told me that privately. So it turns out that both me and that guy, both of us made Aliyah. And both of us, they replaced him like an instant. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you think you're irreplaceable, but you're really not. They work it out. Anyway, so let's go on to the Gemara. Says the Gemara. So he was avoiding him. Rabbi Zeira. So what does Rabbi Zeira do with that pasuk? All right, Rabbi Zeira, hey, there's a pasuk that says you shouldn't make aliyah. I'm in line 12. I don't know why I didn't dent it. I have to fix that. It doesn't mean anything. Hahu b'kli sharet k'tiv. It's not talking about Jews not moving to Israel, but it's talking about the kli sharet, the divine kelim, the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so the vessel, meaning God says, when the time comes, the vessel of Beit HaMikdash, then I'll bring them back. And that's a very interesting question. That's very relevant today. Which is, should we try to force Binyan Beit HaMikdash? Because that's a matter of great debate today that has very very much relevance to the question of, should one go up to Har Bayit or not? Meaning pseudo-relevant to the question. Do we have the ability to build the Beit HaMikdash without explicit divine instruction to do so? Meaning, can Jews force the coming of the Mashiach? You're making a face. It's a matter of debate. It would seem that Rabbi Zeira, who's the more Zionist position, would seem to say no. Right? That the Pasuk is true. I agree with you, there is a Pasuk, that God said, wait until I do it. But he says, it's not talking about Jews. It's not talking about us. It's talking about Klei Sharet. We'll read on. Rabbi Yehuda, Kri Tiv Kra Achrina. There's another verse. Okay? There's a verse in Shir HaShir. I'll read you the verse because you don't have the whole verse. It says, Hishbati etchem benot Yerushalayim bitzvaot o ba'aylot hasadeh. I make you take an oath, daughters of Jerusalem, bitzvaot, with, I don't even know what that means, bitzvaot o ba'aylot hasadeh, with the tzvaot, with the, you have a Tanakh or you just have the Chumash? Okay. Im ta'iru v'im te'oruru et ha'ava ad shtechbat. If you will awaken ta'iru, are you actually Ashirin? With English? You might, you actually might. Im ta'iru, if you will awaken, or l'tit oruru, or et ha'ava ad shtechbat. You do? Shir Ashirin bet Zion. You found Shir Ashirin? I'm sure you have it, okay. Chapter 2, 7. This is an oath between the lover and the dod and the ra'aya. Bet Zion. 2:7. Yeah. Oh, they don't translate it.
Yeah, no, they do, but my English is not.
Go ahead.
I adjure you. O nations who are destined to ascend.
No, they don't translate. You understand? Read it.
For if you violate your oaths, you will become as defenseless as gazelles or hinds of the field.
If you violate, say it again.
If you violate your oath.
Oh, that's good. You understand what happened?
You become as defenseless as gazelles or hinds.
Okay. The literal translation is, I make you swear, im ti'iru, im ti'oruru, if you will awaken et ha'ava, the love, ad shtechbatz. Until chafetz, techbatz, until you desire. Okay, so we take this oath not to reawaken our love until techbatz, sounds like you desire, but they read it entirely differently. Okay, hold your place there, and now you'll understand in a minute why the art scroll wrote that ridiculous translation. Okay. Remember, art scroll, you hold your place there. You can leave it open. You don't need the chumash anymore. You can leave it there. Okay, go back to your, that's the quote. So the Gemara says the following. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda has another pasuk. So how does Rabbi Yehuda read his pasuk to mean you shouldn't make aliyah? How do Rabbi Yehuda read that verse to mean you shouldn't make aliyah?
Should or shouldn't?
Should not.
Because until you're awakened.
Right. Until ad shteiru et ahava. Right, there's a, God says, there's some kind of oath there. And they learned Shir HaShirim totally as an allegory. And that oath was a promise not to reawaken the love between God and the Jewish people. It wasn't the Dai Raya and the Dod, but they understood it to mean there's a promise not to reawaken the love between God and the Jewish people. Ad shtechbatz. Ad shtechbatz literally means until you desire. But what they understand it to mean, God is saying until I desire, until my time has come. Line 15 back in the Gemara. V'Rabbi Zera, Hahu, no, Rabbi Zera says, yes, there is a pasuk. Shelo ya'alu Yisrael bechoma. The Jewish people will not la'alot, help me out here, go up, bechoma. The wall. Correct. Shelo ya'alu bechoma. That they will not go up the wall. What in the world does that mean?
They won't be blocked.
Rashi says, Yachad biyad chazaka. Together, biyad chazaka, by force. Okay? Ve'ilchelo ya'alu b'choma. They will not go up b'choma as a wall.
So one scripture.
What? Together, by force. Meaning, even Rabbi Zera, who wants to make aliyah, said, I agree with you, Rabbi Yehuda, there is a pasuk. But the pasuk is not talking that I can't make aliyah. What's it saying?
Collective aliyah.
Bechoma. Not just collective aliyah.
Forcefully.
Yachad biyad chazaka. Let's read on a little bit. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, hishbati achrin aktiv. There's more than one oath in Shir HaShirim. There's a bunch of oaths. So yeah, you're right. You can't do that. And you also can't go individually. Rabbi Zera says, no. Yes, there are more oaths, but I'll tell you what the oaths are. This is like Aleph Bet of religious Zionism. So I'll tell you what it is. Rabbi Zera.
I don't know, I just pictured that, you know, like with the wall,
It's like people who came after the Holocaust that were forced to come because they had no choice.
Those are by force?
Well.
No, Yachad Biyad Chazaka means the Jews should not come together by force. Let's read on. Let's read on. Rabbi Zeira says, no, Ahu, that additional language, Miba'ilei, is required, Likid de Rabbi Yossi be Rabbi Chanina. That's for the teachings. I mean, why do I need all these oaths? Because they're oaths, the oaths in Shir HaShirim allude to the following. The Amar, he said the following. Shlosha Shavuot Halalu. These three oaths of Hishvati that we see in Shir HaShirim, Lama, what are they? Achat Shelo Ya'alu Yisrael Bechoma. Yes, one of them is that Shelo Ya'alu Bechoma. We all agree that there's this oath that God took us, making us take an oath, that we won't go Bechoma. Where Rashi interprets it? By force. Achat Shishbiya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Et Yisrael Shelo Yimredu Be'umot HaOlam. And one, that God made the Jewish people promise they will not rebel against the Umot HaOlam, the nations of the world. And the third one is, Ve'achat, I'm on line 19, Shishbiya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Et Ovdei HaKochavim, God made the non-Jews swear, Shelo Yishtabdu Behem Be'Yisrael Yoter Midai, that they will not enslave them
unnecessarily.
No, Yoter Midai.
Too much.
That's a little bit. You stop the Shibud, Galiot, a little bit, not too much. Okay. Those are the three oaths.
Kind of what? Makes you look at the protective edge, the reports that just came out differently.
What's that?
The reports that just came out that we didn't go into Gaza during the last war because Obama asked us not to.
We did go into Gaza.
Not the way we wanted to go in. We held back. That's the report that just came out. I'm saying when it says you should not anger the rest of the world.
Wait, we'll get to the rest of the world. Skip a second to the... line 24. Bitzvaot o ba'ailot hasadeh. What is tzvaot? What are these rams or ailot hasadeh? What are they? Amar Rabbi Lezer. Said Rabbi Lezer, Amar lehem hakadosh baruch hu liYisrael. Said God to the Jewish people. Im atem mekayimim et hashvuah mutav. If you fulfill this oath, great. Ve'im lav, ani matir et besarchem kitzvaot uka'ailot hasadeh. I will permit the slaughter, your slaughter, your flesh, like the rams and the ayolot hasadeh, like the tzvi, like the deer and the ayolot hasadeh. Meaning, the Gemara seems to say this is a hard, fast oath. Hold on to this. Don't mess around with this, because if you do, you'll be in big trouble, very, very big trouble. What do you do with these oaths? How in the world are we living here in Yad Binyamin? How do we have a right to live in Yad Binyamin? There are oaths against that. We took an oath. And even Rabbi Zeira agreed. Rabbi Zeira wanted to make Aliyah, but even he agreed, Shalo Ya'alu B'choma, when it's prohibited from La'alot B'choma.
Did he ever make an Aliyah?
What? I think he did. I'm almost sure he did. Okay? So everyone agrees it's more important to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Rabbi Zeira said individuals can make Aliyah, so we're allowed to live here. How are we supposed to have a Jewish country? How are we allowed to have a Jewish army? How are we allowed to return and force our... And
that the non-Jews violated their side of the oath, which was not to Yoter Midai, and they clearly did do Yoter Midai in the Shoah. So, I mean, they couldn't have done any more than that.
Correct. Okay, that's one answer. We're going to learn, how should we say, 12 answers or 10 answers. That's one good answer. Okay, and anyone else?
Now, the thing is, they saw of coming up to Eretz Israel with force, it would be like invading, like something, you know, if you had an army that was outside of Eretz Israel, you were not allowed to, conquer Eretz Israel.
As opposed to?
I think, you're already in Eretz Israel.
Interesting.
And you're going to think of yourself.
Never, interesting. Never thought about that. Okay. Although we did take over the land. I mean, when the British left, we did physically acquire... What? Sure, by force.
But we never started wars.
What?
Did we ever start anything?
Yes,
we just
did.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah, we blew up a few things.
Well right. I mean, we weren't gonna mess around. It's an interesting question. Okay, so turn to page two. Okay, so by the way, so this led to a whole discussion yesterday. I started arguing the Haredi perspective with my students, and that got them really mad, which was they weren't happy about that. But what is there's an idea that should look like who are, like there's a certain a chutzpah on our part that we're going to bring about the redemption of the Jewish people and there's a certain you know, like what I started arguing with him about is, like, what a Haredi say? A Haredi would say, what, you're going to celebrate Yom HaAtzma'ut. How could you celebrate the idea of the establishment of a secular government? Like, I agree you could shed Eretz Yisrael. Everyone agrees. There's nothing to debate about that. How could you celebrate the establishment of a secular Jewish government, a secular Jewish establishment, in the holiest land in the world? You know, like, that's an interesting question. And they didn't like that. We're not going to get into that now. Say, look at line 20, 21. So what do you do with these three oaths? Hashimush bem ayidei mitnagdei hatzionut. This is actually copied from an internet website. I'm not embarrassed to say, because it's great. It's a nice little synopsis. Shalosh hashvuot. These three oaths. I'm on line 22 on page 2. You see where I am? Line 20. Okay. These three oaths. Shimshu mikor limitnagdim letzionut ulaliyah le'eretz Yisrael. They served as a mikor, as a source to those who opposed to tzionut and the aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. She'ta'anatam, they claim, she'bekach ovrim al hashvua shelo limrod ba'umot, shelo la'alot ba'choma. Because they say that through the establishment of a secular state, through our conquering of the state, we violated this oath. V'chein, kol hashvua shelo lidchok et haketz. We took an oath, lo lidchok et haketz. Remember, we started with this midrash, that in Chutz La'aretz, in Mitzrayim, there was a time, there was a case. There's a time. When the time comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell us. But until that time, it's not your business. Don't try to figure these things out. Do what you're supposed to do. Okay? Gadol amshim mishtamshim b'ta'ana zo, the most famous of the person of those who use this ta'ana, haya ha'admor misatmar, was the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum. Mm-hmm. Okay? Sha'af katab al-kach ma'amar, he wrote an article about this in his book, Vayoel Moshe. A famous article that he wrote in his book, Rabbi Teitelbaum. Haya af masbir b'kach, he even used this as a sibah l'shoah. He used this as a reason for the Shoah. Why? What did the Gemara say? I read you the Gemara. Shekein, behemshech ha-Gemara, later on in the same piece, ha-Gemara doreshet, the Gemara learns out, ki im am Yisrael lo yikabel et ha-Shavu'ah, if the Jewish people don't keep the Shavu'ah, Hashem yatir et bisaram kitzvaot v'ka'ayilot ha-Sereh. Remember we said that God will permit their flesh. Read now the translation. Read now the pasuk that you have in front of you, please. Verse 7.
I adjure you.
I plead from you, or I swear to you, right? Okay.
All nations who are destined to ascend to Jerusalem, for if you violate your oath, you will become as defenseless as gazelles or hinds of the field.
Oh.
If you dare provoke God to hate me or disturb his love for me, while he still does.
If you violate your oath, who's the nation, i.e. here? Who are we talking about? Does that shot seem like us, or like the Satmar Rebbe? It seems very Satmar Rebbe-ish, right? If people only knew the translations in the art scroll that they're reading. If you violate your oath against us, I will permit your flesh.
But art scroll is intended for not a Chutz La'aretz, your average Chutz La'aretz reader.
Yeah.
Who are sitting in Chutz La'aretz.
And therefore?
And so it's
art scroll is intending to make them not be a Mikaliyah, or like, you know, it's a... Their readers are not sensitive to the nuance in that text, that there's a midrash based on it that's an allusion to permitting the Holocaust because we made Aliyah. I promise. Okay? But the bigger problem with that Shir HaShirim, if you should know, Art Scroll writes, there's a footnote that says, there's no way for us, the beginning of Shir HaShirim, they say, Shir HaShirim should not be interpreted literally at all. It's all allegory, and it would be inappropriate for us to give an accurate translation of this text. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting question. Yeah.
Was there a big aliyah to Israel before the Shoah?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, you had
that.
This is really important to talk about. People don't realize, or maybe they do realize, we don't focus on, in Europe, the European community was incredibly diverse. And many there was of course the Haskalah movement, which was total secularization, but then there was also, meaning, like, after the emancipation and the French emancipation that spread to Western Europe, people just left the shtetl in droves. They become secularized. Like, the numbers were just like even worse than in America today. The, you know, like 70-80% of people became irreligious over a course of just a ridiculously short period of time. Rabbis had no idea what to do. Right? So, of course, secularization itself was just, you know, verboten. Chas v'shalom, Jews should become totally secular. There's no such thing. That's not Jewish. But Jews found a substitute for that. Jews who wanted to be Jewish, but didn't want to become, didn't, like, wanted to rebel against the religiosity and life in shtetl, which between you and me was terrible. Right. So they glommed onto a certain a nationalism, a Jewish nationalism. And the nationalism said, I can be Jewish, but your vision of Judaism is wrong. It's old-fashioned. It's for the old times. Our vision of Judaism is to reestablish the Jewish people. Right? And obviously, this is all in the context, in the broader context of a historical nationalism that reasserted itself in Europe and across around the world at the time. Right? Every nation was trying to find its roots. The obvious, you know, the most extreme form was Nazism. Like, we have to reestablish our you know, what this means to be a nation, what it means to be a people. You know what I'm saying? So the Jewish people also had that idea, the reemergence of the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. That's what it means to be a Jew, and that's why you had this thing called secular Zionism. The rabbis saw this and said, treif, because to be a Zionist generally meant to abandon religion.
They were religious Zionists.
They were.
Came along like three rabbis, you know, Rav Reines and the Netziv, and said, it's not all treif. There's a nitzotz of kedusha in it. There's truth in it. Of course, their truth is not the absolute truth, but there's an important element of that truth. Most rabbis said, you're crazy. It's all treif. And they based it upon, and then they used this as, you know, they use this hook to say, Your desire for this return to nationalism is part of the Yetzer Hara. And I have a Shvu'ah that says it's part of the Yetzer Hara. You're enjoined against doing this. And see what they're doing? The Yetzer Hara is coming and telling them, ignore what the Gemara says, and instead reestablish your country. What do you mean Jewish country? When God wants us to be the Jewish people, they'll build the Beit HaMikdash. So of course we believe in the synthesis of the two, that it's not all or nothing. But that cultural antithesis, that cultural, I would say, bent against the establishment of a state exists today. It still continues today, because especially the more Haredi you are, the more the psikot and the attitudes that were entrenched remain, because that's part of who you are as a culture. So even today, you know, we'll celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, and our neighbors in Beit Chilkiya will not. Why won't they? Because of this, because the Rabbanim were very much against, like, that's the Gemara, right? Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Yehuda. Are you going to move to Israel? What's going to happen to you? You're going to move there, and you're going to find there's not a lot of people learning. What's going to happen to your children? So don't do it. God doesn't want you to move. Unfortunately, when God, you know, by saying God doesn't want you to move, sadly we know what happened to most of them. Who was right in the end? What happened to the vast majority of the Babylonian descendants who stayed there? Yeah.
Totally.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
But non-Jews didn't want Jews. To
it's impossible to live in a foreign culture.
Like in America, 50%.
It's impossible to live even in a hostile foreign culture. It's impossible to live in a hostile in any kind of foreign culture and not assimilate over a given period of time. It's impossible. And as we know, history, God knows this. So what does God do?
Gives us another chance.
What?
Gives us another chance.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way. I wouldn't say, what does God do? How did God engender the nature of humanity in such a way as to prevent us from assimilating?
Anti-Semitism.
Oh, yeah. As soon as we start assimilating, the rise of anti-Semitism comes and says, no, we don't want you. We'll make sure that you don't assimilate, at least totally. And that's what you have. In Egypt, in Babylonia, in Spain, in... Name the country. Okay, just name it. Okay, so that's how we avoid assimilation. There's another way. Create your own country. Right? Build up a Jewish country. That's the Shavuot. How do we respond? We'll do just a few of them. Hezberim shel tomchei atzionut. So how do the Zionists respond? We've got this Gemara. You're going against the Gemara. Okay, I'll read the line 29. Okay, one. Kishenitan bishayon me'umot aliyah ha'olam la'aliyah la'aretz en yoter shavuah. Right. We have permission. Everybody knows that. Are we rebelling? Did we rise up against? Right. The establishment of the state of Israel was not done only by the Jews. The establishment of the state of Israel took place after... No, forget the Shoah. That wouldn't help us. United Nations decided to give, to grant a portion of land in the Holy Land to the Jewish people. So what's interesting is, if you're looking for a religious reason, this Gemara that we just read, this Gemara, is a religious reason for significance, religious significance for Yom HaAtzmaut. Oh, it's a secular day, they established it. No, they established it in order to, it's not by chance. Right? The Gemara says, you cannot rise up by force. We did not rise up by force. We're celebrating the fact that the Gemara is now no longer relevant. The oath is no longer applicable. We don't rise up by force. We're given it. You should just know, the British Foreign Office has officially responded to the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinians have a petition. They signed 15,000 signatures that the British should apologize for the Balfour Declaration. The British have now responded officially saying,
no,
we're not apologizing. Then they say we should have peace. We all would like peace, of course. But no, we're very proud of the fact that we established the State of Israel. That's based on our Gemara. That's related to our Gemara. It's not insignificant. Very important. Okay? Line 30. What?
It happened this week.
It happened this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The British Foreign Office this week said, no, we're happy. We're okay.
Really?
We're not going to apologize. Which I like. I think I'm going to write about that. 35. Line 35. Number 2. Umot ha'olam heferu et shvuatam. Like, yeah, there are 3 oaths. What was oath number 3? They won't go overboard. Anybody heard of the Holocaust? Okay. Number 3, line 37. Aliyah b'tzura hadragatit eina nechshevet kechoma. That's what you tried to say. That you tried to say that we didn't take over. We didn't conquer it. We came step by step. Number 4, line 39. Asur la'alot rak mi-bavel, aval lo mishar ha'artzot. That's Babylonia. Bavela Yavo. The Pasuk explicitly talks about Babylon. Nobody's going from Iraq. Okay? Number 40. What?
Nobody left
it. Yeah. Thanks to them. Hachoma tikfe le'elef shana bilvad. Some say it was 1,000-year oath. Long gone. Number 4, 5, 6, whatever, line 42. Shebnei Yisrael tikifim la'alot le'eret Yisrael batla hashvua. Interesting. That was only because we weren't ready. We weren't able. And now we are. I don't know if I like that one. Number 3. I skipped one? Ah. Hashva hirak al aliyah manat livnot the Beit HaMikdash. Really? It's only in order to build the Beit HaMikdash. Not interesting? The Vilna Gaon Center, who's going to argue? Number, whatever number we're on. 87.
So by that line, should we not be told they were Beit HaMikdash?
I'll get to that in a second. Kvar begmara hashvuot shmiyot v'machloket. I only told you one Gemara, but it was a matter of debate. Nobody, not everyone agrees. Sheba Mesechet Yoma, and another Mesechet, Omer Beish Lakish, another Amara says, Shehu Sonei et Anshei Babel, Shalom Alu Le'ered La'aretz Bimei Ezra. Right? It's interesting. The rabbis in Eretz Israel, they had very derogatory attitudes towards the rabbis in Babel. There was a lot of resentment in Israel towards the Babylonian community, yeah, which is interesting to me. I'll just say as an aside. Rav Teichdal, interestingly enough, like, so we said the Satmar Rebbe wrote that why was there a Shoah? Because they moved to Israel. So in his very famous book, I have it in the other room, in his very famous book, Rav Teichdal writes, why was there a Shoah?
Because
they didn't move to Eretz Israel. Right? And he criticizes harshly the whole Jewish community and said, you're upset. He really says it over and over. He says, you're upset that the settlement in Israel is not religious enough? If you had moved, a million of you have moved, it would have been religious, which is absolutely true.
Right.
But you didn't, so it's not. So whose fault is that? It's a certain interesting give and take. Okay. Line 4, Rabbi Zeira Chazarbo. Okay. Rabbi Zeira changed his mind. Shekein b'midrash shir ashirim, Rabba, misupar, it's told, Shehu hoda, he admitted, he agreed, Sheilu alu Yisrael lo haya nechrav habayit. He admitted that Bayit Sheni would have been destroyed if the Jewish people had returned in the time of Ezra. I'm going to skip a couple. Line 9. I'll skip one. Line 9. Hashvuot hin agada v'lo halacha. This shvuot appear in the Gemara. This is agada. We're learning agadata. So agada is nice, and there is a message behind it. We don't paskin like agadata. Name me agada, agadata. We paskin like. It's not a halacha. Okay, so there's a message behind it. There's an idea behind it. Okay? One second. Number 4, line 14. Hachoma b'teila is negated. Kasher yesh siman b'pikida me'et Hashem. If you have a sign from God that the time ends, Okay? What's the siman? One, Rishayonu Mot HaOlam. Like this permission from the nations. Or, Hit'arerut Am Yisrael Lashuv LeEretz Yisrael. Right, this very awakening that we're talking about to return to Eretz Yisrael, that's a sign that it's time. Hidgalut simanei haketz. Right, the Gemara talks about later on, how do you know there's no greater sign that the ketz is coming? When do you know that the time has ended? Anybody know what one of the signs is? When Eretz Yisrael... What?
The flowering of the land.
Yeah, look around. Turn around, right there. Look around you.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful. Right? Go to the fields. Beautiful. Right, that's what, there's no greater sign than that. Okay, etc., etc. There are a couple of, so there's like 11 reasons you could say why this Shavua is no longer applicable. But nonetheless, so why don't you know?
It's not comfortable to accept that you have to do something different.
Right, it's not comfortable. If you ask me about the Beit HaMikdash, I personally believe that no, I think that we don't have the right to build the Beit HaMikdash. There are people obviously that disagree strongly. But there's the.
No,
I think.
Based, I think it was the Chafetz Chaim.
No, the Gra. Yeah.
The Gra
said that you go there to build.
If you go to build the Beit
HaMikdash. We don't have the ability. Like even in the Midrash that we started with, there's a limit to what you can. There's a case. There is such a thing as a case. There is a time. Like God has a plan. It's not all up to us, but it has to be a partnership. So I believe that like religious Zionists, there's a combination. Yes, we have to come, or we have to build. But we also have to have faith. You can't do everything. There has to be a partnership. You can't say it's all up to me, because what's God's responsibility? And I think that's the Beit HaMikdash. That the Beit HaMikdash is the Makom of the Shekhinah. You want the Makom of the Shekhinah? You can't force it. You have to create the atmosphere and build and prepare the situation for which the Shekhinah will be built. But there's a limit beyond which a person shouldn't go. I always thought... Like when I read it, I always thought that meant shalom, that was one of the meanings of shalom ya'adu b'choma. Right? What is a choma? Wow, there's a wall. Okay? That's the wall. Right? And that when the time comes, if we do our work, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do his as well. All right, we'll stop here.